And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou sayest." And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. I'm reading that particular portion from the 27th chapter of the book of Matthew, 11th through the 14th verses. To kind of give you the background here as to what has happened, this is after the Lord Jesus Christ has been taken by the mob of people who had come after he had met with his disciples and after he had been in the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed to his Father, after he had prayed for his disciples, and then he had also prayed for the time that he was going to soon be going back to the Father. And it's shortly after that Judas had come and had betrayed him, and he had been taken by the mob, had been taken in before the Sanhedrin, had been given a very speedy trial, to say the least. And if you begin to study the trial that Jesus would afforded, you would find that it was not even conducted in a way that was normally conducted by the Sanhedrin. Let me assure you this morning that Satan is always at work. He is always busy, not only in the day that the Lord is going to be going through here that I'm going to read about this morning, but today is still very active and still uses every resource that's available to him. There is nothing beneath his dignity that he won't use to accomplish his goals. And that includes using each one of us as God's children if he possibly can. And certainly he's delighted whenever that we will yield ourselves unto him, as many of the people did in that day. I believe it was last Sunday that I mentioned to you that the Lord, in just a short amount of time, a matter of a few hours, is going to go from hearing people singing praise unto him and shouting hallelujah as he entered into the city of Jerusalem to a point in time to where that in anger they're going to cry out to do away with him. It's interesting as you study the word of the Lord to see that the very people who should have been most supportive of him at a time whenever that he needed support were the very people who turned against him, the very people who were very vocal in doing their best to do away with him. The Sanhedrin did not even have a full body as they met. They met of a night, which was against their own rules and regulations. They didn't have a sufficient number there to pass the sentence that they did upon him, but they did it anyway. And so I think probably as you study the word of the Lord and you read some of these things, you just see what a marvelous plan that God had all down through time, and that he knew that these events were going to transpire and that his word was going to be fulfilled, that Jesus was going to do exactly what he came to do, and that there were going to be many people that were going to be involved in the fulfilling of the prophecies which had been made concerning him and of his impending death upon the cross. But the thing that I think is important that each one of us understand is that we many times, as we're faced with issues in our lives, are very quick to want to defend ourselves, and especially if we think that what has been said or what has been done is wrong. We immediately are very defensive and offended by whatever the situation is. And certainly there are times whenever that's in order. But there are probably more times that we're guilty of things that probably should be brought to our attention that are not. And consequently, we're less apt to acknowledge those things and admit them. I find that many times, though, I don't need to admit to you or acknowledge to you some of the things that I do wrong in my life. I do need to acknowledge those things and admit those things unto the Lord, and to see that I keep that relationship between me and Him as open and as good as is possible. And there are times that I have to say, I'm sorry, that I am truly sorry. Jesus at this point in time has been tossed back and forth from the Sanhedrin to Pilate. Pilate listens to Jesus he doesn't actually listen to him because Jesus doesn't say much. But Pilate interrogates him, finds out then from the Sanhedrin that this man is of Galilee, so he understands that the best way for him to get out of the situation is to transfer Jesus from his hearing over to Herod, who is the leader of the people of Galilee. And so he sends him to Herod. Herod hears the complaints of the people against the Lord. And just keep in mind that all of these things are false accusations which are made of the Lord. It took them quite a little while even to come up with some people who would stand and be a witness. And it turned out they were false witnesses. Their testimonies before the Sanhedrin were not in agreement, and so they really didn't have a very strong case to begin with against the Lord. And what you don't have a strong case about, sometimes the best thing to do is make up something. And that's exactly what they did. They then made up the lies which were going to eventually bring about the sentence of death that was going to be passed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I just have to, as I said last Sunday, I always struggle with these particular portions of the Word of the Lord, because it's so easy for me to want to find fault with these people when I recognize that this is truly the part of the plan of God, and that the Lord Jesus Christ came for this time and for this purpose, to be able to die upon the cross for my sin. And so I have to recognize that these people are only fulfilling a portion of the Word of the Lord. I try to caution people every once in a while when they begin to ask me about some of the happenings that are going on in our world today, to say, you know, there are many things that bother me, that trouble me, but most of them I don't truly understand. There are some things I'm very opinionated about, but I also have to remember that many of the things which are going on today are a fulfillment of what is actually taught in the Word of the Lord. And knowing that, I have to accept the fact that God's Word is going to be fulfilled, and we are a part of that fulfilling of His Word. And, you know, whether or not we're going to be a part of that which is for the good or for the bad is going to be up to each and every one of us. We're going to make those decisions ourselves. But anyway, Herod, after he listens, he says, you know, I really don't find anything worthy of death in this man. And, of course, you know, the high priest and the Jewish leaders are insisting that they want Jesus put to death. They want him crucified. They want him done away with. He has been nothing excepting trouble to them as he's been here. Now, bear in mind, he's never done anything excepting good all the days of life. The only perfect being there has ever been upon the face of the earth. And you and I need to understand this morning, of all the people there are in the world and all the things that go on, this man was the least deserving of having to die the cruel death that he died. But he died that willingly, and on free accord, because he loved each one of us who are here this morning. Anyway, Herod then says, you know, I'm not going to be the one. The Sanhedrin did not have the legal authority to put him to death. So that's the reason they brought him to Pilate, sent him over to Herod. These two men could sign the death warrant for him. And then Herod sends him back to Pilate because he doesn't want to be the one who's responsible for signing the death warrant of the Lord Jesus Christ either. So it goes back to Pilate, and Pilate then, as I read in your hearing this morning, says to him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" This is key in the testimony that's been going on here. This is what the Sanhedrin has been hearing from the witnesses, that this man has claimed to be the king of the Jews. He's going to establish a kingdom. He has failed to pay proper due to the government of the land at that time. And so they come up with all kinds of stories that are not true, but they're also going to make some charges that would constitute a death penalty if they were in fact true. So Pilate again says to him, "Art thou king of the Jews?" And Jesus says to him, "Thou sayest." And so then when the chief priests and the elders accused him, he did not respond to them. And Pilate said, "Hearest thou not how many things the witness against thee?" And he answered him never to a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had there a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, "Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?" I want you to notice that Pilate, at this point in time, knowing what's going on here, is still looking for a way to get out of bearing the responsibility of being the one who issues the death sentence to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says unto the people, "Who do you want me to release unto you?" Now, I want you to notice what he says. He says, "Do you want me to release unto you Barabbas?" Now, Barabbas was a man who had been guilty of murder and insurrection. He was a man who was guilty, had already been found so, and was worthy of death. But he was here in prison. And Pilate had a tradition where that during the feast of the Passover, he released at least one prisoner from out of prison. This is kind of like I think as I read this of how that at Thanksgiving anymore, our President of the United States always spares a turkey. Well, that turkey, you know, probably it gets some privilege there in that respect, gets a lot of publicity. But now listen, this was a custom that had been instituted by Pilate, that to be able to have some favor with the people, he would release a prisoner. And so we had here a notable prisoner, a well-known prisoner by the name of Barabbas. He says, "Do you want me to release unto you Barabbas or now listen, he says, "Do you want me to release unto you Jesus, which is called Christ?" See, that's inflammatory in itself, because, you know, he's basically saying this man by the name of Jesus is calling himself the Christ. And that's what was upsetting to the people. And this is what's going to get the mob going, you know. There are things that I could say to you this morning that get every one of you so upset that you'd be mad and ready to go out the door out here and say, "You know, that preacher got up and said thus and thus, and I'm never going back and hearing him again." I can just make him mad at the hops over a few things. I would come right around and say, "You know, I can substantiate these with the word of the Lord." Now what are you going to say? I might be right, I might be wrong. But you see what I've done? I've covered myself, and I've tried to make it look like that it's what the Lord says in His word. Maybe farthest from the truth. But Pilate knew how to work the crowd and work the mob. And he has a mob here. It is not just a crowd of people, it's a mob of people. And they've got blood in their eyes, and they're wanting nothing less than death for this man by the name of Jesus. And so Pilate says, "Do you want me to release Barabbas, or do you want me to release unto you Jesus, which is called the Christ?" For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Now you notice that Pilate's wife then, she had had a revelation, a dream here that troubled her. And she sent to Pilate and said, Have nothing to do with him, because I've had some very troubling things that I've thought and know about him today. Let me tell you something this morning, that as she sent that word, she did so at risk of incurring the wrath of Pilate. It wasn't as it is today. Now, you women can just get this down in your book whether you like it or not. There was not equality back in those days. The women were not considered to be equal to the spouse or the lady to the king or whatever the case was. The queen was not considered to be an equal. She was not even allowed to go in his presence unless she had been commanded to do so. And if she went, she went at the risk of having her life taken. So it was a pretty serious thing. A little different than what we do today. A little different. And I'm not saying that what we're doing today is wrong. I'm just saying that you've got to put this back into context and understand that his wife sends word to him and says, Have nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Don't you think for 1 minute that Satan is still not working today? He is still convincing people every single day and every service that he can get into that what they need is death rather than life. What they need is more fun and less seriousness. What they need is more spectacular and not so much dullness. Let me tell you this morning, there are probably more places that today are appealing to the pleasures and the pleasantness of man than are appealing to the seriousness of this preaching of the gospel to the souls of men that need salvation in their hearts. We don't want to hear today that we're sinners. Oh yes, I like to hear that I'm a sinner. Well, You're a strange bird. Most of us don't like to hear that. Most of us don't like to think about that. But we, everyone, are. Every single one of us, saved and unsaved alike. Now, we've got a lot of saved people today that they think for some reason that they've got such an exemption from everything that they're excluded from anything the Word of the Lord says. And that the only thing that they have to be concerned about is how many blessings they're going to get. Let me tell you something. There's a lot more serious stuff in the Word of the Lord. I tell people every once in a while, if you want to really think about how serious this is, every opportunity that we have to declare the Lord Jesus Christ and witness to the Lord and tell about Him, we're dealing with life and death. We're dealing with spiritual life and death of the souls of men and women and boys and girls. That's how serious it is. It's not something just to fiddle around with and to play with and say, glory, glory, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Everything's fine, everything, glory, glory, glory. It isn't. It isn't. We have people who are dying today because they're not hearing that the salvation of the soul is the most important thing they're going to do as they live here upon the face of the earth. And we've got people who are very, very cunning and very articulate in being able to convince people that the way of Satan is better than the way of the Lord. These men persuaded this mob of people who just many of them, not many hours before, had been saying, Hallelujah, glory to God in the highest, praise the Lord, here comes the Savior Jesus Christ into the city of Jerusalem, have now convinced those same people to say, Crucify him. That's what we want you to do with him. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate says unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Now, I've used that for a text among times, and it's a good text. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Every single one of us have to answer that question in our own lives every single day. What am I going to do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? What am I going to do with Him today in my life? Am I going to glorify Him, or am I going to be disrespectful of Him? Am I going to disgrace Him? What am I going to do with Him today? Pilate said, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. Let him be crucified. They didn't have any hesitancy. They didn't have any very fancy words to say about what they wanted done. They made it very clear they wanted him crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. I want you to notice two things. First of all, I want you to notice how ridiculous this act was. Pilate took a basin of water, pan of water, and symbolically he washed his hands, saying, I'm innocent of this whole deal. You're not going to hold me responsible for this. I'm innocent of it. It's not for me. And the people said, good, let his blood be up on us. That's fine, Pilate. You just signed that death warrant so that we can get away with this man, and we will pay the consequences. We're willing to accept that. You just give us what we want. People are doing the very same thing today. You let me do what I want. You let me do this the way I want it done. Not what the Word of God says. Not the way that the Bible teaches. Not through the blood of Jesus Christ, because that's too gory. That's too nasty. That's not for me. I want something nice and pleasant, something that everybody can see and that everybody can brag on me about doing. Let me tell you something. The price is being paid. The Bible says, then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Pilate, in another portion of the word of the Lord, in the writings of Luke, I believe it is, he said, I find no fault in him. I don't find anything what you people are accusing him of. I find no fault in him. I'll tell you what I will do. I will scourge him. I will then release him and let him go. Oh, no, you're not going to do that. No, no, no. We want him crucified. Pilate said, why? What has he done? Remember whenever the Lord had sent the old prophet down to his people one time, he said, you go down to them, and he said, you ask them a question. What have you found wrong with me? What have you found wrong with me, the Lord says, that you've gone far from me, have followed after vanity, and have become vain? What have you found wrong with me, the Lord says. If he were to ask you that question today, there's not a single one of you here can say that you can find a single thing wrong with the Lord. None of us can. Not a single one of us can find anything wrong with him. Now, we might make up something. We might concoct some big lie that wouldn't be true. But you're not going to find anything wrong with the Lord. Neither did Pilate. But Pilate went ahead and signed the death notice. And the Bible says, then release he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Prior to his being scourged, which was brutal, he had been spat upon, He had been mocked. He had been stripped of his garments. He had a robe placed on him. They had plaited a crown of thorns upon his head. They had beaten him. He wasn't in a very pretty condition, people. Doesn't look anything like that. And he went through all of that without trying to defend himself. Never did he deny that he was of God. But neither did he stand up and argue his case before those false accusers. He went there. He suffered. And he did that because of me and because of you and because he loved us. And he was willing to do that in my stead, in my behalf.